Good morning. It's good to see all of you this morning. Isn't that great? That it's good to be seen. And Susan, I don't know. I think maybe Steve, with a lot of radical therapy, maybe we can kind of straighten him out a little bit. I don't know. We pray for you every week when we pray for the afflicted. We're praying. We're praying for Susan. As Steve said, we are in our series of building better relationships, and we all do have our share of difficult people, don't we? And maybe even impossible people. I think some people have adopted this phrase, why be difficult when with just a little bit more effort you can be impossible? And we have impossible people in our lives, and I guess we wouldn't really have to be too concerned about how to deal with them if it weren't for the fact that God, first of all, said that He wants us to live in right relationship with people, and that is a high priority, and that is one of the most important things that you can do with your life next to loving God with all of your heart, soul, mind, and strength. And then for the second purpose, that a lot of the relationships that are difficult and impossible are ones that really matter to us, aren't they? They really matter a lot. They're people that we work with. They're people that we live with. It might be, as we said last week, a boss. It might be a coworker. It might be a spouse. And I know that there are probably some singles that are thinking, how in the world could, you finally find the person that you want to spend the rest of your life with. You know, how could you have those kinds of feelings toward a spouse? I just don't understand that. Well, it happens. And sometimes, even with our children, right, we go through these times when we would love to string them up by their toenails. I mean, it's not a Kodak moment, is it? And I think all of us, if we were honest, would say that we go through that as parents, those kinds of times with our kids. And it's equally true, I think, of children having those kinds of difficulties with your parents. And you're thinking, man, if there was any other parent that I could have, that's the parent that I want. We have those kinds of difficult relationships. How do you deal with all of that? You know, our marriages were not meant to be adversarial relationships. And while a parent and child relationship often has some tension in it, and I think it has that tension in it because parents have been given the role of providing some direction and some correction when that's needed. And so there's always going to be some conflict there, some tension. But it was never meant to be an all-out war. And so how can we build better relationships? That's what we're looking at. And we've been using as a passage to be looking at Romans chapter 12. And we're going to put this up on the screen and read through it again this morning from the contemporary English version. Paul says, ask God to bless everyone who mistreats you. Ask Him to bless them and not to curse them. When others are happy, be happy with them. And when they are sad, be sad. But be friendly with everyone. Don't be proud and feel that you are smarter than others. Make friends with ordinary people. And don't mistreat someone who has mistreated you, but try to earn the respect of others. And do your best to live at peace with everyone. Dear friends, don't try to get even. Let God take revenge. In the Scriptures, the Lord says, I am the one to take revenge and pay them back. The Scriptures also say, if your enemies are hungry, give them something to eat. And if they are thirsty, give them something to drink. This will be the same as piling burning coals on their heads. Don't let evil defeat you, but defeat evil with good. And that's verse 21. Last week we said that the last verse of this passage is really a foundation for all of us. The message says it this way, don't let evil get the best of you, but get the best of evil. And we said that the first step, or the foundational step, in building better relationships really has to do with taking the offensive. Of taking the offensive. Of whatever that difficult relationship is that you are experiencing at the moment, not taking the stance that says, I'm going to do everything that I can to keep from losing. And that's often what people do. They fall into this mindset, into this strategy of what do I have to do to keep from losing? I don't want to lose. And the Bible teaches us that we need to take the offensive. We need to know that God wants us to win in our relationships. He wants us to overcome evil with good. He wants good to win out. And that's the kind of mindset that we need, the kind of aggressive, offensive mindset that we need to make relationships work. And then, this morning, we're going to look at verse 14. Verse 14 that says, to bless those who persecute you, bless, in case you missed it the first time, bless, and do not curse. In other words, the second step here is that we learn to manage our mouths. Now, why do we start there? Why is that so important? Well, because our mouths get us into so much trouble, don't they? My mouth gets me into trouble all the time because I open it. You know, someone said, open mouth gathers no foot. But my mouth, I just open it up a little too often, and it gets me into trouble. I think we do a lot of talking, and that's why we get into a lot of problems in this area of talk. The average American has about 30 conversations a day. And if you're an average woman, let's say an average American woman speaks about, I think it was 30,000 words a day. And there's a little bit of a gender difference here because it says that the average American man speaks 20,000 words a day, which kind of explains why when you come home, us men have spent our 20,000 words up, and our wives still have 10,000 words, right? Someone asked Phyllis Diller's husband, said, do you resent the fact that your husband, that your wife always gets the last word? And he says, no, actually, I'm delighted when she finally gets to it. Okay, well, I've gotten myself into trouble this morning. It's that easy. So we're going to be talking about how to manage our mouths today. And why is that important? Well, for three reasons. First of all, my mouth determines where I go. Secondly, my mouth can destroy what I have. And thirdly, my mouth displays who I really am. And we're going to take a look, as Steve has already mentioned, in the book of James this morning. James is good commentary for verse 14 of Romans 12. So we're in James chapter 3. And that comes right after the book of Hebrews. It's toward the end of the Bible. Hebrews, James, 1st and 2nd Peter, 1st and 2nd, 3rd John, Jude, and Revelation. So just, you know, turn to the back if you're not really sure where James is, and just keep working your way left, and you'll find James chapter 3. Let's read this together. Starting with verse 3. When we put bits into the mouths of horses to make them obey us, we can turn the whole animal. Or take ships as an example. Although they are so large and are driven by strong winds, they are steered by a very small rudder wherever the pilot wants to go. Likewise, the tongue is a small part of the body, but it makes great boasts. Consider what a great forest is set on fire by a small spark. The tongue is also a fire, a world of evil among the parts of the body. It corrupts the whole person, sets the whole course of his life on fire, and is itself set on fire by hell. All kinds of animals, birds, reptiles, and creatures of the seas are being tamed and have been tamed by man, but no man can tame the tongue. It is a restless evil, full of deadly poison. With the tongue we praise our Lord and Father, and with it we curse men who have been made in God's image, in God's likeness. Out of the same mouth come praise and cursing. My brothers, this should not be. Can both fresh water and salt water flow from the same spring? My brothers, can a fig tree bear olives or a grapevine bear figs? Neither can a salt spring produce fresh water. Okay, let's look at this for a moment. Number one, why is it important to learn to manage my mouth? Well, first of all, because it determines where I go. And James is going to use a couple of illustrations here in verse 3. He says this, we can make a large horse turn around and go wherever we want by means of a small bit in his mouth. In other words, what he's saying is that the tongue has tremendous influence and direction on my life. It sets the direction for my life. It's a lot like a 90-pound jockey that gets on the back of a 2,000 to 3,000-pound racehorse, and she can steer that horse wherever she wants it to go. And the tongue is the same way. It steers us, and it can keep us on track in our lives and in our relationships, or it can really get us off track, can't it? Such a small thing, and yet it has such tremendous consequences in our lives. Your words affect the direction of your life. Verse 4, he says, or take ships as an example. Although they are so large and are driven by strong winds, they are steered by a very small rudder wherever the pilot wants to go. I can't help but remember a time, I don't remember now which interns this was, but we were at YMCA camp, Lake of the Ozarks, with an orientation, and there were a couple of interns that got on one of those little sailboats that are out there, and they had a time of it. I mean, they got out into the middle of the lake somehow, and they could not go anywhere they wanted to go. They could not steer that sailboat, even though they were trying to work the sails, and they kept turning the thing over. It just kept turning over. And, I mean, they were just waterlogged. Finally, some of the staff from the YMCA came out and said, where is your keel? Where is your rudder? There's kind of a rudder keel that gets dropped in the middle of that boat. And they said, we don't know what you're talking about. They were trying to sail that boat without, it's just a small piece of wood, but it makes all of the difference in the world. I mean, it can stabilize the difference between being stable and unstable, going where you want or not going where you want. And James says that our tongue is very much the same way. It's the rudder system of our life. It's a guidance system. It's the steering wheel of your life. And because it's such a small part of our body, we often don't appreciate its significance enough. And so let me just ask you this question. Where are you headed? Where are you headed in life? Where are you going to be 10 years from now? Have you ever thought about that? You know that I can tell you a lot about where you are headed in life by your conversation. By the things that you focus on, whatever you focus on, that's where you're headed. We shape our words, and then our words shape us. I know a lot of bitter, negative, critical people. They speak bitter, negative, critical words. Guess where they're headed with their life? Guess what kind of life they're going to have? A very bitter, critical, negative life. Because the words really do determine where we go. Now, the good news about all of this for us this morning is that if you don't like the direction of your life, if you don't like where your life is headed, if you don't like where your relationships are going, then change your vocabulary. You need to learn to manage your mouth and to speak the kinds of words that are going to direct your life where you want to go. Proverbs 13:3 puts it this way, He who guards his lips guards his life, but he who speaks rashly will come to ruin. And so, number one, my mouth determines where I go. Number two, my mouth can destroy what I have. Verse 5, the tongue is a small thing, but what enormous damage it can do. A great forest can be set on fire by a tiny spark. And of course, we've all heard stories of careless campers who have burned entire sections of forest. We probably all have met verbal arsonists, haven't we? You know, they're always using inflammatory words. They're always trying to get something going and fanning the flame and spreading rumor. And there's just a lot of destruction and divisiveness that follows in the wake of all of that. When I was 18 years old, I was on a murder. I was in a jury for a murder trial, and there was a man who walked into a bar one night and bumped another man and just had a short exchange of words that ended up costing him his life. Because he spoke the wrong words to the wrong person. That man went out and waited in his car until the other guy came out, and when he did, he walked up to him and he shot him point blank. and ended his life. I mean, words can destroy not only your life, but they can destroy the lives of others. A couple of weeks ago, I had a neighbor two houses down who was filling his car up at the Vickers or the Total, whatever it is, Vickers or Total. And he had an exchange with someone, and he drove off, and this other person followed him home and got out of the car. And the only problem is there was one neighbor, but there were two guys that followed him home. One opened up his trunk, picked up a baseball bat, and broke his jaw. And I'm thinking, my word, you know, right there. Words have that effect. They destroy our lives. They destroy the lives of others. Notice what he says in verse 6. And the tongue is a flame of fire. It is full of wickedness and poisons every part of the body. And the tongue is itself set on fire by hell and can turn our whole lives into a blazing flame of destruction and disaster. Now, isn't that true? How many times have we heard someone say, well, I said this, and then she said that, and then I said this, and next thing you know, all hell broke loose. That's exactly what James is saying here, that our mouth can destroy what we have. Some of you are here today as a living proof of how destructive and how devastating words can be. Because someone said something to you at some point in your life. Maybe it was a parent. Or maybe it was a coach, or maybe it was a teacher. It was someone that you very much respected, and they said some words to you that have just devastated your life. And still today, you hear those words, and all of these feelings come flooding back. You know how destructive words can be. I don't know who it was who came up with that expression, sticks and stones may break my bones, but words can never hurt me. That's just not true. Talk is not cheap. I don't know who came up with that either. Or maybe in a little different setting. But talk is not cheap. It can either make or it can break a relationship. And so, words can either invigorate or they can devastate our lives. We know equally how just a word of life, a word of encouragement by the right person at the right time, how that really has changed our lives. And so, they can build up or they can tear down. And so that's another reason why we manage our mouths, because our mouths can destroy what we have. Number three, my mouth displays who I really am. You see, my mouth really reveals my true character. It tells who I really am. You know, we'll go to the doctor. I think this is still true. It's been a long time since I've been to a doctor. I don't know how many, 15 or 20 years since I've been to a doctor. But you go to the doctor and you open your mouth. They say, open your mouth and stick your tongue out and say, ah. You go, ah. The dentist does that. The dentist does that for me, okay? Tells me to stick out my tongue. And then we'll put a thermometer under your tongue, maybe. I'm not really sure why all of that, but your tongue has a lot to say about how you're doing physically. And the same is true spiritually. That our tongue tells a lot about who we are. If you want to know who someone is, then just listen to their words. Listen to their conversation. And that will tell you a lot about their heart. One of the things, unfortunately, about our words is that they reveal our inconsistencies, don't they? And we were talking about that just a little bit ago. Chapter James 3, verses 9 and 10. With our tongue, we praise our Lord and Father, and with it we curse men who have been made in God's likeness. How can this be? I mean, we can praise God today, which is the highest use of our tongues, and then we can get into the car and we can curse someone in the car, can't we? We can just tell them, shut up. Isn't that amazing? You know, what's going on? Why is it? Why is it that we have that kind of inconsistency? Well, James says you need to consider the source. If you've got that problem, you need to consider the source of why you are that way. Why you can bless God one moment and curse men on the other. Now, you know, I don't think that James is speaking of using God's name to damn someone. only, exclusively. And sometimes we do that. Sometimes we will curse someone by using God's name and asking Him to damn them. I can't think of a more unholy thing to do than to use the name of God, who desires all men everywhere to be saved, to use His name to ask Him to do something that He really does not want to do. But I don't think James is just talking about that. I think he's talking as well about sarcasm, the put-downs, the words that we use to tear people down. I think he's talking equally about those kinds of things. And why is it that we do that? Why is it that we say the most loving things in one breath and then we lash out with the next? And that we lash out and we are very critical and cursing of the people that we love the most. Well, he says you need to consider the source. He says, can you pick olives from a fig tree or figs from a grapevine? No, you can't draw fresh water from a salty pool. Now, what he's telling us there is that if we've got a problem managing our mouth, that the problem is really more serious than you thought. That it's more of an issue than learning to control these muscles. That Eddie could explain to us how these muscles work. No, it's not a mouth problem. It's a heart problem. That's really the problem. And that's really what I wanted us to get to more than anything this morning. That the problem that we're talking about today is our heart. And when we're talking about how can you help people who have hurt you, by the way, we're talking about being unjustly persecuted and accused and that sort of thing. How can you help people who have hurt you? We've got to talk about our heart. Matthew 12 and verse 34 says, "For out of the overflow of the heart, the mouth speaks." You see, eventually my mouth is going to betray, or my heart, my mouth, I guess, yes, my mouth is going to betray my heart. That, you know, you've heard people kind of excuse themselves saying, you know, I don't know why I said that. I can't believe I said that. That was a slip of the tongue. I mean, that's just not like me. James says, no, that's just like you. That's just like you. You would like to pretend differently. But when you say something, it's not a slip of the tongue. It is an overflow of the heart. It's a heart problem. And so, if you show me someone who has a harsh tongue, I'm going to show you an angry heart. You show me someone who has a filthy tongue, I'm going to show you someone with an impure heart. You show me someone with a critical heart, a critical spirit, I'm going to show you someone with a bitter heart. You show me someone with a proud or boasting heart, an arrogant heart, I'm going to show you someone with an insecure heart. Because whatever's on the inside is what comes out. And the reverse is just as well true, that you show me someone who is gentle with their words, I'm going to show you someone with a loving heart. You show me someone who's encouraging with their words, I'm going to show you someone with a compassionate, a loving heart. Because out of the overflow of the heart, the mouth speaks. So quickly, how do we learn to manage our mouths? How do we learn to bless and not curse those who are hurting us? Well, number one, we have to get a new heart. That's what we have to do. We have to get a new heart. Listen to what Jesus said in Matthew 15. He says, "Don't you see that whatever enters the mouth and goes into the stomach and then out of the body? But the things that come out of the mouth come from the heart. And these make a man unclean." Verse 17. "Don't you see that whatever enters the mouth goes into the stomach and then out of the body? But the things that come out of the mouth come from the heart. And these make a man unclean. For out of the heart come evil thoughts, murder, adultery, sexual immorality, theft, false testimony, slander." What we need is a new heart. Putting new paint on the pump isn't going to make any difference if the well is contaminated. You can do all of these external things, But it's really not going to make any difference unless you're really dealing with the heart of the matter, which is the heart. So we need a new heart. We need to pray the prayer that David said in Psalm 51. Create in me a clean heart, a clean spirit, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. We need to pray, God, I need to get control of my mouth, but more than anything, I need you to take this bitter and this angry heart, this insecure, this fearful heart, this hurt heart. I need you to take that heart, and I need you to take it out, and I need you to put your heart in me so that the right words come out of my mouth. Well, how do you do that? How do you get a heart transplant? Well, Reubel Shelley, he's a minister in Nashville, Tennessee, with the Woodmont Hills Church. He was on a church retreat in Atlanta, and there were a lot of people that were out at this camp. And evidently, there was one lady who came as a friend of another lady, and they spent almost all night up one night just talking. And the next day, they came to Reubel, and this lady was just sharing her life, saying, "You know, how can I get free of this? How can I change? How can I be different?" And Reubel opened up Romans chapter 6 and began to just to share the beautiful truths there that we talked a little bit about last week of how God will put our old self to death, that jerk. He puts it to death and He raises up a new person. And so she said, "That's what I want." And so they walked down to the lake so that Reubel could baptize her into Christ. And the group gathered around, and he said, "Now, some of you met Joyce for the very first time last night, and I'd like for you to say goodbye to her now." And so they all said, "Goodbye, Joyce." And then he baptized her right there and raised her up. And someone caught on, and they said, "Could you introduce us to this new lady?" You see, that's what the Bible talks about in 2 Corinthians 5:17, when it says that anyone who is in Jesus Christ is a new creation. The old is gone, the new has come. And that's something that only God can do in our lives. That's not something that we can do, but that's something that God does. Some of us need a heart transplant. Number two, we need to guard our thoughts. We need to learn to guard our thoughts. James 1 verse 19. Everyone should be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to become angry. We're going to be talking about anger in a week or two, I guess a couple of weeks. One of the best ways of controlling your anger is to get a handle on the first two, that if you are quick to listen and slow to speak, then you're naturally going to be slower to anger. We need to learn to speak, to think. We need to learn to think before we speak. The police were investigating this man and said, "Did you get a good description? Do you have a good idea, a good description of this man who beat you up?" He said, "Of course I do. That's what I was doing when he started beating me up." Okay. Yeah, we need to learn to put our mouth in neutral and to think about what we are about to say. And there's an acrostic that I found this week. Think, T-H-I-N-K. Number one, is it truthful? T, truthful. Is it truthful? You see, when we're talking about managing our mouths, we're not talking about not speaking truth, just biting our lips and not being frank with people. In fact, Proverbs has a statement. Proverbs 10 and verse 10, someone who holds back the truth causes trouble. Part of managing your truth is your mouth is learning to speak the truth and being honest with people. And some of us are still living in rather superficial relationships with people because we are afraid to really speak the truth and to say what we think, what we believe. And so we need to learn to speak the truth. That's the first question that you ask yourself. Is it truthful? But we learn to speak the truth in love. And so H, is it helpful? Will this is true, but will it help this situation? John Maxwell says that every one of us carries two buckets in our lives. In every situation, every relationship that we come to, we've got either a bucket of water or a bucket of gasoline. We come to this fire and we make a choice as to which bucket we're going to use. And we either make the matter worse or we make it better. And so we ask ourselves, is this helpful? Is it inspirational? Or is it encouraging? Will it encourage? Will it give courage to that person in their life, whatever they're needing to deal with? Is it necessary? Is it necessary that I say this? Reckless words pierce like a sword, but the tongue of the wise brings healing. Proverbs 12 and verse 18. And then finally, is it kind? Is it kind? I want you just to think about the last confrontation that you had. That might be just this morning. Might not have to think too far back. But you know, the last confrontation that you had, I mean, things really blew up. You got into it. And then you backed away. And you began to think, isn't this what happens? We all begin to think about what we wished we had said. Oh, we start thinking about what we wished we had said. Now let me ask you, what you were wishing that you could have said, was that a blessing or was that a blast? Was it a blessing? Were you thinking, you know, I just missed a wonderful opportunity to keep my mouth shut and I regret that, or I missed a great opportunity to really speak to this person's fears and their hurt and I missed that opportunity to bless them? Or do we think more about the blast? Oh, I wished I'd gotten this little zing in there. Well, that's what Paul's talking about, that we learn to bless and not curse. Ephesians 4:29 puts it this way: when you talk, do not say harmful things, but say what people need. Words that will help others become stronger. Then what you say will do good to those who listen to you. And then finally, pray for help daily. I think this battle with our tongues is something that we just have to pray for help daily. I love this prayer. Psalm 141 and verse 3. Lord, help me to control my tongue. Help me to be careful about what I say. I like this quote from Sidlow Baxter. He says that the proof that God's Spirit is at work in your life is not that you can speak in some unknown tongue, but that you have learned to control the tongue that you do know. That is the fruit of the Spirit in our lives. Well, we're talking about, in all of this, we're talking about, in tongue management, we're talking about life management. We all need, we need a life manager. That's what it basically comes down to. And you've got a choice of one or the other. You've got a choice of you being the life manager. And you know how well that's worked, don't you? You know all of the problems that that's gotten you into. You can either choose to manage your own life, or you can allow God to manage your life. And that's what this series is encouraging us to do, is to allow God to be our life manager and to take control of our relationships and give us the cues and give us the directions that we need to build healthy relationships. Let me close by just asking three questions. Question number one, what direction is your mouth leading you? What direction is your mouth leading you? What are the things that you talk about the most? Do you talk about your problems? Do you talk about your hurts the most? Do you talk about money? Do you talk about the Lord? That's the direction that your life is headed. Number two, what or who are you destroying with careless and angry words? You see, maybe as a result of this little reminder from James this morning, you need to find that person and need to go and ask them for forgiveness. You need to go to someone, a child, or a parent, or a co-worker, and you need to say, you know, I am sorry. I please forgive me for the way that my mouth has hurt you. Number three, what do your words reveal about you? You see, if we had a tape of your conversations this past week that we could listen to, and we don't, God is gracious. But what would that tape tell us about you? What would it tell us about your heart? Would it reveal a bitter heart? Would it reveal an insecure heart, a hurt heart, an angry heart? What would it reveal about you? And you see, God is wanting to give you a new heart. So as we close, I'm going to call your attention again to the card that was distributed. That this is an opportunity, especially if you're a guest, that we want your name and your address so that we can know who you are. But more importantly than that, we want to help you to have a deeper relationship with God. And we want you to have the right kind of relationships in your life. And we're not experts on that. We're fellow strugglers with all of that. But we want to do what we can to help facilitate a greater love for God and a greater love for people. And so there might be on the back of your card this morning some appropriate boxes for you to check. Or there may be something that specifically that you want to write down there that you would like for us to pray about, or that an issue that you would like to address in your life. We're going to give you an opportunity to fill out that card. Our worship team is going to sing a song right now for us. And you can finish filling out those cards if you need to. And then you can join them. We'll all join them in singing this song. And then in a little bit, we'll have our baskets will be distributed, and you'll have an opportunity to drop those cards in the basket. If you need immediate assistance, you see, I call a lot of you, and that's the thing. I'm sorry, so-and-so's not in, but if you need immediate assistance, just press 0. Well, we've got a room E9 out here, right out the door and down the hall here to the left. E9, where there'll be some spiritual folks, men and women that would be glad to pray with you, encourage you, give you some godly instruction. And so you can take advantage of that as well as we're singing this song or shortly after the assembly. But to finish those cards, let's sing this next song together.